So just before Christmas, so what, 6-7 weeks ago, I started to get a bit of a niggle in my tooth there. And I did what any sensible person did, and that was I took paracetamol, covered up the pain, and cracked on with life as it is normally. And it was fine because it only took sort of tablet in the morning, you'd be fine for the rest of the day. And then as time went on, it started getting to me a bit more. And then just after Christmas, when I went back to work and it was really, really cold, each time I breathed in, that pain went through this gap in my tooth, which incidentally, in my head was about this big because of the pain. And it really wasn't nice. Like, basically, whatever happened, whenever I breathed in cold air or ate something, it was either hot or cold, or probably anything in between as well, it just sent this pain down to me. Now, I'm not a big fan of dentists. My dentist is still in Tamworth because it took that long to find a dentist that I could like. I've told him, A, I'm going to come back wherever I live, and B, he's not allowed to retire. He's about 96, but I'm not finding somebody new. And it just was getting worse, and I was taking sort of more tablets to cover it up, trying to sort of make more soft food, sort of like that kind of thing. And it really was starting to get to me. And then in the sort of towards the end of January, I texted Mum and said, I might have to see the dentist. But I decided that that would at least be sort of dental appointments were apparently really hard to get. So I thought that would give me at least another few weeks. But this was really, really starting to get to me. The toothache was keeping me awake at night. And therefore, it became a crisis when not only was it keeping me awake at night, but then when it starts keeping Rebecca awake at night because I'm tossing and turning, I got sent to the dentist. So I went and I came down on the train. I went in to see Mr. Fletcher, and he's lovely. He really is. I'm sure he's the nicest person in the world. Pardon?
He's our dentist.
Yeah, he is. But you don't like him because of what he does. If Jesus called disciples today, you know what they say about the tax collectors? That would have been Jesus called a dentist to follow him, and everyone around him went, all I'll say is now I know why my dentist drives a really nice car, though. So I went in and I sat down, and it didn't help that because of COVID, all the windows in the surgery are open. And as I'm walking up the ramp, I just hear this, aah! And I'm like, oh, this is not good. And so I go in and I sit down, and you know that the dentist small talk. How have you been? Oh, I'm good. Like we're friends who want to see each other. But no, so I get there and he says, so what's wrong? And I'm like, I've got a bad toe. Obviously, I've got toothache. I don't come and see you voluntarily. So he lies me back and he puts on this Hannibal Lecter mask now that makes him look like he's about to try and kill me. And he leans in, and then I hear him go, and he steps back, he takes a step away, and he says, well. Now, if you need to start a sentence with well, it's not good. He says, how long has this been hurting? Oh, not long, I lie. He says, because if you'd come a while ago, it would have probably been a tooth I could have filled. And I'm like, I'm sensing a butt. He says, and as he's reaching round for these pliers that look like they're going to take sort of horseshoes off horses, he says, the tooth needs to come out. It is, basically, he uses some posh word to prove he's been to medical school, but the word broken will suffice. And then he gets his needle out, he puts my mouth to sleep, and he says, right. And he explains what he's going to do, and basically he says, I'm going to pick you out of the chair by your teeth with some pliers. And all the time I'm thinking, this could have gone much better. Now, firstly, this man is a genius. He can cause me half an hour's pain and I will pay him £250 for the process. But, literally, I left his room. I won't go as far as singing and dancing, but, and it wasn't the toothpaste, he put so much anaesthetic in, I couldn't feel like the left half of my face, let alone the toothache. But it was the fact he'd said, if you come back, if you come when it first started hurting, a little bit of what the whizzy thing and sort of, and then the little warmth, and he'd have filled it and it'd have been fine. But I didn't. I ignored it. I decided that me just not wanting to see lovely Mr. Fletcher was a perfectly acceptable outcome. And as a result, he literally took a hammer and chisel to my mouth. Kids, always go to the dentist. Excellent. Sorry, should have possibly targeted. Dentists are wonderful people. They're there if you have... Oops. Well, that's good. If you're going for fillings... This is the word of the Lord. Excellent. Yeah. But do you know what? The reason I'm telling this story isn't purely to terrify people. It is because it's those words that I can still hear him saying that if I'd gone in December when it started hurting, instead of just... I tried to do one of those... You know those where you put your own filling in? And I don't know how much of that filling stuff I swallowed, but I guarantee I've got no cavities in my stomach now. But if I'd gone in December when it started hurting and he'd filled it, it would have been so much easier than if I'd gone and just ignored it till right at the end of January. And when he said, whoa, that's a big hole. And all this time I've been thinking, sometimes we leave things and don't do them because we think it's easier to ignore them. We think, I won't do this because it's easier just not to bother. As opposed to doing what can seem the right thing. And in the book of Psalms, in the reading that Joseph read for us, God says, you've got these two choices. He says, you can either look at the people that do what is the right thing to do, or the people who choose what is wrong and what is easy. He says, basically, people are either living a life that is good and with God because they listen to God's word and they follow what he says, or they choose to think, well, this seems more fun, and they do their own thing. He says, when we live with God's word and we do what is right, it's like we're living in one of those places where everything that grows is good. And to illustrate this, I want you to compare the garden that I have at home to the garden that I see when I come and visit mum's. Because you see, you get this picture of a garden when I go home that everything is immaculate. I don't know if she like puts little canes up the side of the blades of grass to make sure they grow straight, but it's not far off. And everything has to be just right. And the Bible says, blessed is the man who walks in the counsel of the wicked, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. His delight is in the law of the Lord, like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit. Mum has plants that she can tell which of our birthdays it is by which plants are in, sort of growing. That's not right. Normal people have calendars. But then it says the people that walk in their own way, the wicked, they're blown all over the place. And that's more like my garden. My garden where I have to sort of take pictures and send them and say, is this a plant or a weed? The ones where you have to look round and you've not got these lines where things end and other things begin, because everything just grows together in one chaotic blob. And God says, when we follow or we don't follow what his way of living for us is, then what happens is either our life produces all this good stuff, or our life produces that which is not good. The psalmist, this is the first psalm. When they took 150 of these poems and songs and they put them together, this is something that frames what all the rest are about. And God said, and the psalmist says, blessed are you who do not choose the wrong thing. Because we find what gives us joy is knowing what makes God happy. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Now, I know how to predict the weather, because apparently whenever I go and sweep the leaves up at home, it means the next day will be really windy. And those big piles of leaves will blow everywhere back to where they've just been. And that's what God says it's like when we don't listen to his word. The wind comes and it blows us all around. And it means that we just seem to fall for whatever is going on at the time. Not yet, sorry. Sorry, it was just a question about what time is it, and it's not quite time for me to finish yet. I think it was Esther that was looking at her watch, but we won't mention that, don't worry. But thank you, yeah. This is why you enjoy going out to Sunday school, isn't it? But we've got this reading that says, when we are blown around by the wind, when we end up listening not to what's right, but whatever the world tells us to do, like when we're at school and someone says, shall we do this? And it's not the right thing to do. And we know it's not the right thing to do. But the people that are asking us are our friends. And we don't want to get embarrassed. We don't want to do the right thing. We don't want to do the wrong thing. We just want to not be there at all. God says to us, listen to what is right. Listen to what is good. And do you know what the good news is? That he's given us a whole book to tell us how to know what is right and what is wrong. Ruth has just picked Phoebe up. And Phoebe has got a really good way at that age of telling us what she's happy with and what she's not happy with. Now, I know nothing about parenthood, but I know that when a baby is crying, it is generally saying there's something I want. Or something I don't want if the child is crying because they've been given to me. This book tells us what is right and wrong. It's not asking us to guess. We're being given this instruction about how to live. And then, 1,000 years later, after the Psalms, we get to the time when Jesus is teaching. And he's giving what we call in Matthew the Sermon on the Mount. In Luke's account, it's labelled blessings and woes. And God says, Jesus says, blessed are you when you are doing that which is right. Blessed are you when you are sticking to that which is in God's plan. And then he says, but woe to you. And he says, but actually you've not got things right. When actually you're looking at what you can get in this world. When you're looking at making yourself better and more supplied than everybody else. Jesus had come, he'd healed the sick, he'd taught, he'd cast out demons, he'd done loads of amazing things. Everyone was looking for him and looking at him and listening to every word he would say. And do you know what he said? He said, blessed are you when you look for what pleases God and what helps other people. And so maybe as you go away, and I'm aware this is like probably my last visit here, for like when your teacher comes back after they've been off sick and the supply teacher says, thank you, we'll give you a call when we need you something else. and this is the last time I'll be here for a while. And maybe those words are what I want to leave you with. That what God says is live your life asking, how are you loving God? And how are you loving the people around you? Because if the words and the actions and the things we think aren't loving God, then actually we're in that place, that tougher side of the psalm that Joseph read, where we're getting blown all over the place. What we need to do is remember those words. Blessed are you. And say, am I living in God's blessing? Am I living in that place where the first thing I think about is how I love God and how I love other people? We're going to pray together in a minute, and we're going to mix together our prayer at the end of our sermon and our intercessions. And we're going to do it in a bit of a different way. And so usually that gets a bit of an intake of breath when you say the word different. But I need us all to do this using our hands. Now, four fingers and a thumb. You only need one hand, don't worry. And what we're going to do is we're going to use this to remember the life that God gives us to live. So you look at your hand, and the first thing I want you to look at is the palm of your hand. Now, when you have something, you're holding something, whether it's your phone, whatever it is, you tend to hold your phone in the palm of your hand. That's where you grab hold of things. You can hold them there with your fingers, but it sits in the palm of your hand. And so as we look at this, I want you to first of all remember all those things that you have that you are thankful for. All those things that you hold on to in life. It may be your family and your friends. It may be the things around you. But they are the things that we hold on to because they are the good things that God has given us. There's a beautiful verse in the book of James that says, every good and perfect thing comes from God. And then you've got your thumb. Now, when you see someone with their thumb up like that, what does that tend to mean? Joseph? Something good has happened. This is where we remember those good things that we've got to be thankful for that are going on in our lives. So we remember the things we have here, but with our thumb, when our thumbs are up, we're remembering the good things that are going on. The fact that we can be here together. The fact that we can sit next to people, talk to them. There are so many things we've got to be thankful for. And you know what? I sometimes think we have almost a famine of thankfulness. We don't have enough. We don't say thank you to people enough. And then with your first finger, what do you use that finger for? Yep. For pointing. Absolutely. Now, I know someone will say pointing is rude, but do you know what? When we point, we don't tend to point to ourselves, we point to other things. And we've got a chance when we're thinking about how we love God and love others to remember how we can help the people around us. I can be nicer by not being mean to Esther and Ron. Maybe that'll be... It'll be easier for them to come back again after this week, so that'll be less of a problem. But when we point to other people, we remember that actually other people have some tough things that are going on. There may be ways that we can help them. We can pray for them. We can pray for those people around us who aren't well. We're not going to go through all the fingers, but the final one is with our littlest finger. The little one, which actually, I always wonder, why do we need a little finger? Because it's not like, I've never met anyone that can write with it. Yes, but to be fair, any kind of musical need for it was never going to be a problem for me, was it? But with our littlest finger, because it's the smallest and it's the one that we often come to last, I want us to think about ourselves. Because quite often, it's easy to forget about ourselves as well. And when we look at it, I want us to say, how does God want us to look after ourselves? How does God want us to be as people? How does God want us to act? Because sometimes the best way to help others can be to change ourselves. I may not, for some of you who've known me for a while, I may not have always been the easiest child. I know for some of you who've known me for less time, you'll find that hard to believe. That wasn't a joke. But do you know what? When I look and think back, and there was a great video I saw on Facebook this morning, the difference in a first child, a second child, and a youngest child. And I was like, I really would laugh if that wasn't me through and through. But as we look at this, this idea of how do we change ourselves? How do we live in a way that makes other people's lives better? How do I make sure the things that I'm doing aren't hurting other people? How do I make sure that me, who I am, is making this world, giving this world the best impact it can possibly have? I want to take you back to the man that Ron met at Battalion last year. 75 years. Now, that is, let's put this into perspective, that is Rachel's age and my age added together, pretty much. And that's not how long this man's been alive, that long how long he'd been serving BB. What do you think the impact has been? There are people now who are drawing their pension who were led by that guy in BB, which is quite scary. But he's looked at himself and said, what impact can I make on the lives of others? How can I love those around me? And I'd never heard the sentence, I was excited to go to West Bromwich before. But when Ron went, there are children, there are boys around there for years who are growing up being shaped by Boys Brigade. And they will all remember him as one of the people who shaped and helped them as a child. I don't want to sort of turn today into a story of different funerals I have done, but when we celebrated Olwyn's life, I look back at Olwyn teaching me in Sunday school. Olwyn teaching me, well, she never quite managed to teach me to sing, but Olwyn getting me to sing. There are those people who have shaped us. And I want to ask, how will you be one of those people that shape everybody who you meet? So I want you to remember the things that God has given you, the things that are good, the things that actually you've got to celebrate in your life. And I'm really celebrating the fact, like the first time I came back here after the pandemic, there weren't many people because everyone was still nervous and sort of, I think they were especially nervous they might catch it from me because they all sat six rows away. But we've got good things and I'm really grateful for seeing today church so alive with people of every age. We've got those people who are around us, those people who we see, who God is asking is how we can love and care for them. And then finally, God is asking, how are we going to change ourselves that we might reflect Jesus better? So let's pray together.